Hello, hello, welcome.
That was very, what the hell was that?
I don't know. That was the best, that's all I got this week.
Okay, well that works for me.
Hello, how are you?
And good
I don't evening. Know you, but thank you for listening to me.
Good evening, VMers.
We're so glad to have you, and I don't know what that means. Basically on a radio program, we don't really have anybody.
Well,
we have each other, and that's really sad.
Yes, each other.
You with your lamb chops and me with my beard.
Yeah, and can I talk to you about your beard for just a moment?
Please, please.
I've been watching it progress the past month or so.
Yes.
Yeah. It's creepy.
No, this isn't creepy. This is distinguished.
It reminds me of Zach Galifianakis.
No.
Totally.
Yeah, come on.
It's very creepy looking. It's unkempt. And can I say, I don't like Galifianakis.
There is a difference between unkept and neglect.
Oh, yeah?
And this full, lush, distinguished beard that I am growing. I think this can truly, this can make me as a man.
Benji, if I can say, just for a moment, it looks as if a porn star from the 70s is sitting on your face, pointing towards me. That's what the beard looks like. It's not a good look.
You know, it's
and it
just
smells a lot like a 70s porn star.
No, listen. There is we should mention, by the way, that we are at Mikasa.
Yes.
Tonight.
It's a little efficiency above the railroad tracks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, and just for mood lighting, I've lit some candles.
I thought it was Sterno, but
well,
Sterno candles. It's all the same.
Smells like leather.
And if we're gonna go along those routes, can I just say
yes
that if we are gonna record from your efficiency on a regular basis, I would like double pay.
I think you should get it, considering I'm making you wear that getup.
Yeah.
That's
plus I've received no formal paperwork reassigning me to this studio.
No, that's true. That's true. This is of your own volition. Maybe, and you don't get any extra hazard pay.
Maybe I should explain why I'm talking this
Please.
Way.
Please.
Here in the great state of Vermont, in which this podcast hails, there was I think we mentioned on our last podcast.
There was a small rainstorm.
Yes, a small weather event called Hurricane Irene.
Yes.
Or Tropical Depression, or, slightly suicidal Irene.
Yes.
Passed through Vermont, a lot of flooding, and
we're a landlocked state, by the way.
We are. Yeah, we very rarely get
hurricanes.
Or earthquakes, which we hit both of those this year.
Whoops.
Shit. Anyway, so here in the great state of Vermont, we have a state complex in the city of Waterbury, the town of Waterbury.
We do.
That was quite flooded. It was ravaged by the effects of the great flood here of 2011.
It was defiled.
It was, much like your face. And the state workers that work there are, I guess they're about 100, and I don't know if that's the full lot, but regardless, the Vermont State Employees Association filed this grievance against the state, saying they had not filed official paperwork, and that these 100 state employees want to file a grievance against their contract for not getting reassigned formally, thus getting double pay for the time they've been reassigned. And that was my little joke, and it's been on my mind.
Yeah. Really? That's been on your mind?
Yeah.
Shit, man, I had to tell you what runs through my fucking mind. It's not state workers asking for double pay. It's like, midgets jacking off on one another.
Well, but I'm speaking of state workers, midgets jacking off. That's
that's the Vermont workforce. Is that how we make our maple sugar?
I think midgets jacking off is probably a good analogy, but that's just me.
Come on, bros!
Let's go shovel snow.
Oh my god, we're going to hell for that.
We were going to hell since our first podcast. We were talking about the Japanese and Michael J. Fox.
That's
set in stone.
Well, here's the thing. When I was this weekend, when I was with my parents, who remind me a little bit of, Ethel and Merman.
You mean from the Lucy show?
Yeah.
Fred.
Excuse me, Ethel and Fred.
Ethel and Merman.
Well,
the great comedy duo of the 40s, Ethel and Merman.
No, sorry, Ethel and Fred, where they smell a little bit like urine and hand cream. You know,
yeah,
kind of okay. That old person,
yellow fingernails.
Oh,
yeah.
They're, and my dad too, especially. He's a little bit of a shit digger. It's not good. He has to wear oven mitts all the time, and you know, we don't let him out of the house much.
So I'm not familiar with the term shit digger. I have no idea. No.
Old people will actually go and try to, because they get constipated because of their meds. They'll go and they'll try to actually dig the shit out of their anus, and so we call them shit diggers, and we give them oven mitts. Yes.
Are they nice oven mitts?
Not particularly. I mean, you've got to wrap the person's hand up in the oven mitt just so that it can't fit into their anus.
Why not just change his intake of prunes and stuff to make his bowels loose?
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. We try everything we can to make sure the poop is flowing, including, you know, I'm sure my mother on a daily basis takes a straw and shoves it up that man's ass and starts sucking away. But I don't think it's going to work. I mean, for those of you listening and don't understand, that's what we do in Vermont with old people, is we shove straws up their ass and
suck the shit out of them.
We do. But it's not exactly a tried and true method.
I've never heard of it, frankly.
It's certainly not covered by insurance.
I mean, I'm a lifelong Vermonter. You moved here from South Dakota.
True.
But, I mean, I've been here my entire life. I've never heard of anyone sucking the shit out of a fellow lovemate's anus for any purpose other than social
fornication. Perhaps you haven't been in Vermont long enough. I mean, this is
maybe I've been in Vermont method. Just too long, then, if that's where we're going. I mean, I like, would you call that foreplay? I like,
no, no, it's no, not. Is that's it, never foreplay.
That's a rear something.
Appetizer maybe, but never foreplay.
Oh, only if it's corn. Because corn.
Depends on what the man ate.
You get the joke. Okay, you know, since we're talking about bowel movements, can I let you know, I have not been feeling the most bowel movement friendly as of late.
Really?
Yeah. I've been having some serious, I'm calling it digestive issues, and I think I have to schedule an appointment with a doctor.
That's disgusting. Why would you share that with everyone?
Well, it seemed like a nice segue. Air.
No, no, that's not a nice segue. That's personal shit, man. You can't be, you can't be discussing stuff that's disgusting on air.
Oh.
That's not,
okay. I have a better segue.
Okay.
So do you want to hear how I shit my pants as an adult?
Please.
Okay, yeah. Here we go. This has nothing to do with my bowel problems. This is about 7 years ago, before we had children, my wife and I.
Instead of you and I.
Right.
Because you and I never had children together. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Well, no. I mean, we tried multiple times, but we haven't been blessed by the stork.
Butt baby number one may be on the way.
I hope he doesn't have your facial hair, though. So my wife and I used to frequent a Chinese restaurant in Rutland.
Did you?
We did. It was called Kung Chow, I think.
You made that up.
No, it was on Center Street.
Kung Chow. Yeah. Did the person know that they were actually making fun of themselves by actually calling it that?
I think, well, you know.
Welcome to the Kung Chow.
Oh, she was the loveliest little Pacific Rim person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the PC term. Because I never want to offend anybody.
Pacific, no, no, not on this podcast.
She was of Asian descent.
Yes.
And, she was very stereotypical. Oh, how the meal, was that? Like, oh, I'm not doing it. That's her. Yeah. That's, you know, she was lovely. Great person.
Oh, I was going to imagine. Is she old enough to be a shit digger?
No. She probably was
shy of a shit digger.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she was taking her chopsticks and kind of going around the surface. She wasn't getting in there quite as well.
You're going to have to give those crafty Asian people a lot more than just oven mitts, man. You're going to have to have to do something with those.
Anyone that can make chopsticks do anything in the world.
Oh, yeah, you can't. Yeah, yeah.
So we went to this Chinese restaurant, had a great meal.
Mm-hmm.
On the way home, I felt uncomfortable in my bowels, my nether regions. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I had to take a shit. Okay. Well, anyone that's ever driven between Rutland and Montpelier knows there isn't a lot of places to stop and take a shit.
No, it's you and cow fields.
Right.
They're already taking a shit in those fields. You don't want to be.
No, that's dangerous. That's dangerous stuff. So against my will, my wife stops, pulls the car over at a local mom and pop, runs in and gets me a bottle of Pepto-Bismol. Well, little to her knowledge, I don't react well to Pepto-Bismol.
What?
It doesn't have the right effect. You know, it's for the heartbreak.
Yeah, acid, it's supposed to like actually
diarrhea.
You know, really,
it doesn't work.
Diarrhea. It hardens up the stool.
It causes diarrhea in me.
It causes diarrhea.
I've had multiple occasions where I had this effect. So,
excuse me.
Yes.
You have Pepto-Bismol, and that causes diarrhea for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that listed as a side effect?
Well, probably. I mean,
I'm side sure effect may cause diarrhea.
Yeah.
Even though you'd be taking it for diarrhea. And that's a pretty serious
really
side effect.
I bet it's a side effect. If I were to call the Pepto-Bismol company at 1-800-PINK-PINK-PINK, or what the fuck their number is, I bet...
No, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's pink, pink, pink. Go ahead.
So she gave it to me against my will. I did not want to take it. But I did. I took it. The amount of dose. And we got on the interstate. And we got going along. And I said, I really have to go. Well, we're coming along what was at one point the only rest area in the state of Vermont, in Randolph. And she's getting ready to stop. And I say, no, I'm all set. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Things have subsided.
Huh.
So the Pepto-Bismol I thought was working. So we blow by the rest area exit. And not a quarter mile later, the world's greatest shit pain hits my bowels.
Oh, dear God.
And I'm sitting in this Nissan, I think it was like a Nissan Sentra or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I've got a problem.
I bet we got
a problem. So I lay the
Houston,
seat.
Houston, we have a problem.
I lay my seat down, thinking that this is going to allow me to apply the correct amount of pressure to my anus, sphincter, to hold things in until I get home, which is like another 20 miles.
Oh, God.
It didn't happen.
Oh, God.
As soon as I lay down.
Shit,
exactly.
No.
The gates of hell opened in my sphincter. And I shit my pants all over her Nissan Sentra.
Oh no! Oh no!
So I had to ride.
Wait! Yeah. And you had to drive in that for 20 miles.
I had to ride in that. She was driving. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Now immediately the window fogged up. So if anyone's never gone through this, know that if your spouse or person you're riding with shits their pants, turn the defroster on previously, because it's going to cause a hell of a steam in your car.
And that can become dangerous in the middle of winter.
In the middle of night, too.
Yeah, you don't want that You don't want that window to fog
so
up.
So she rolls the windows down.
Your car is smelling shit.
She drives us home. I get to the house, and I'm like, how the hell? I was laying down. So I get up, and I waddle. Yeah. I literally waddle into the home.
You have to.
I just let the pants kind of dribble down my legs, and I sit on the toilet.
Dripping down.
And that was my shit my pants story, the most recent shit my pants story. I mean, I've had others, of course. It's a family trait. I can tell you stories about my father.
And your father's father. And
yes.
His father before him.
We've had great bowel movement stories in my family's lineage. Way, way back to before the Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that must have been... that's a gene-altering experience.
Well,
more ways than one.
I mean the J-E-A-N.
In more ways than one. That is a gene-altering experience.
Sure,
it's father to son and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Damn.
So that's my segue from shit-picking to that.
That's a hell of a serious thing. I myself have never shit myself as an adult, probably because I am, in fact, an adult. I don't want that here's the thing. Let's back up here. I don't want to make you feel bad about the fact that you have, for obvious reasons, some kind of... poor bowel control at, you know, your tender age. But I'll just say... You know, I'm, 60 years old, and I feel like I'm 30.
I understand that completely.
60 years old, still kicking. Wrinkled penis, but I'm still kicking.
But don't we really have a wrinkled penis right from the get-go, though?
We do.
Does the penis ever come
unwrinkled? Depends on whether or not you're... Actually, I'm actually... it's weird.
Don't tell me you have a vagina, because that's...
I have a vagina, and the lips, what are they called? Labia? I don't know. I just call the whole thing, you know, my junk. But the labia are actually quite wrinkled, especially when you get it, you know, sandwiched in, you know, in your underwear, and you get the creases.
Oh,
and
sure,
else.
Sure.
And the flaps begin to just, you know, kind of flap and do their thing. And
okay.
Shit is just leaking everywhere, and, you know, and you're just thinking to yourself, you're like, what the hell, you know? Why couldn't God have plugged that up?
Like a zipper. You're telling me that women probably should have a zipper in their vagina.
Now, would that make uncomfortable for men? Sure. But speaking as a man who has a vagina, I think that would be better for
us. You know, if we're really going to just go off the deep end here and think about like a wish list of things we'd like in our domestic partners.
Please.
This might be already used by a
community. You might actually top the zipper vagina speech.
Well, I don't want to start.
This will be good.
I want to work my way up. I'm going to first start with a mute button.
Oh, okay.
But there needs to be that's kind of that, you know, every comedian from here to Poughkeepsie has used that line, I think. If not, then they can
roll on snare.
They can send me a check. Mm-hmm. So other than that, having experienced a wife with childbirth, I would like to see that there would be maybe a zipper up there as well. Or some way you could just kind of, like a trunk, pop the hood, have it open up, just take the baby right out, close the lid, and you're good to go.
You know, speaking of which, I still haven't gotten the vision of your wife's tit out of my
mind. It is spectacular.
It is, but it's also up on your living room wall, which is weird. And I don't mean to revisit. I don't want to revisit.
It's okay.
Revisiting is not always necessarily good, but I figure while we have a live studio audience and your wife is in the live studio audience along with my girlfriend, why shouldn't we talk about her tit?
It's fine with me. I'm looking at it now, and it's wonderful. And I
actually have my back to her, so unfortunately, I can't see.
That's
it
right the way now. I set it up, you know.
So but I'm imagining it right now in much the black and white picture, same way that I've seen it, and it's just there.
It's there, yeah.
It's there.
I try and reenact that shot every night.
Do you?
I get swatted down quite often.
Well, yeah. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens when you try to nurse really, from your wife.
And the reason
the
reason I display it so prominently, I don't think I get a chance to fully explain because the fucking phone rang last week.
Yes.
The reason that I have it prominently displayed is that I'm trying to bring culture back to Barry.
Culture.
Yeah,
that's
see,
right.
It's not just for yogurt anymore. Mm. I think Barry City needs to have a lovely culture. And I thought a picture of a black and white picture, well shadowed, of my wife's tit would be the jumpstart Barry needs to get back on the culture train.
And they do. They need something.
Well, first we need indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing would be nice. We need to have cleaning up from floods would be nice. Getting rid of some unsavory characters would be nice. Maybe it all begins with your wife's breast. Maybe your wife's breast is the answer to a lot of the problems.
Maybe I should run for mayor and on my campaign sign just have that picture. Vote for Bolio. He'll bring breast back to Barry. He's the breast Barry has.
He's the breast Barry has. Thank you, Barry. Wow. Wow. I thought the Barry thing was just a bad pun, but now...
Oh, I'm Barry of the Barry Bolios.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Well, people don't know that, but...
That's not always good.
It's a throwback to Titanic. Speaking of my wife's boobs.
Oh, my. Yeah, all right, so let's change the topic ever so slightly.
Oh, please. Course correction.
To your wife's nipples.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. I've noticed that black women have dark nipples.
Yes, I've noticed that, too.
And white women have pink nipples.
Not always, though.
Is that right?
Well, there's brown.
There's brown.
Yeah, a lot of women I've ever seen have the brown nipples. I've only encountered one pink nipple and two pink nipples in my day.
Is that right?
Yeah, out of one
brown
person,
nipples.
Of yeah, brown nipples are usually the color I've noticed.
How about that?
No, you've never seen the brown nipple?
Well, I was going to say, what about Asian women? Now this is interesting.
No, it's brown.
It's brown as well.
I have witnessed.
So it's only a few women that have pink nipples.
I think it has to do with genetics. I don't know.
Well, of course it has to do with genetics, but
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it just white women?
I don't know. Who else?
BMers, help us out. If you know, because either you yourself are a woman, you've seen plenty of women, or, and here's the important thing, you have purported to have been with a multitude of different women.
Sure.
You know, varying, you know, races.
Different ethnicities.
Genders. So if you have done that, tell us in an email or write us or call, text us.
Smoke signal if you're American Indian.
Facebook us. Just let us know.
Do we have a Facebook? Do we have
a
Facebook? We do.
We do.
Really? We do. What is that?
I'm just going to volunteer that now. We're going to do it right now. I'm going to announce right now that we're going to get on that as soon as possible.
I'll get right on that as soon as I'm done uploading this
episode. We have a Facebook page. It's 2B1M Facebook at Facebook.com hyperlink Facebook/Facebook.
You got it. Whatever Benji just said, I'll listen back. I'll make sure that's exactly.
Remember, the topic of conversation is nipples, color of nipples.
Okay, I think that's our listeners nipples. Are pretty rabid, rabid. Yeah,
the color of nipples.
They'll be there. They will. I know they'll weigh in. Our listeners are strong and fervent. All 10 of them. Yeah, all 10 of them.
That Canadian doesn't count. It's actually just 9.
Oh. Well, actually, I think it's 8 because I was accounting for the conversion from U.S. to Canadian.
Oh, right. Yes.
And I rounded. Shit. Then I rounded up to 10.
No. Actually, there's not much conversion anymore. You know, they're doing Canadian dollars and American dollars. They're doing it pretty much.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So I can then take all my Canadian dimes out of my piggy bank and
use them as American dimes.
Oh.
No, you see, you really can't. They're worth the same, but you can't. You can't use them because it's not American currency.
Well, screw that.
Well, you don't want the banks to lose money now, do you?
Oh,
do
no.
You?
Yeah, don't even give me. I'm moving down to Wall Street.
Are you going to do the Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, I'm going to go Occupy Wall Street. I think it'll be fun. Sounds like a good chance to get out of work.
A hell of a lot more going on there than Occupy Vermont.
Is there really an Occupy Vermont?
I don't think so.
No one lives
there's
here,
no city that's big enough that we can say, like, Occupy Los Angeles or Occupy Boston. You know, we don't have cities like that. You know, so you'd have to say Occupy Vermont. But even that's kind of a joke because there's no one in Vermont.
Well, maybe you and I should
start
that. There's
nothing to occupy.
You and I should go down as emissaries of 2B1M. You and I should go down to the State House and we should occupy Vermont.
No, there would be nothing to occupy.
Well, the cows have some vote, don't they?
The cows have no vote.
They don't.
They have.
See, I always thought that they were left-leaning socialists.
The cows?
Yes.
My God, man, how much weed have you been smoking?
Not enough, apparently. Yeah,
cows.
I love cows. I love them.
Well, you do, but they don't have political preferences.
But they have feelings, Benji. Can't they vote?
No, they can't even shit dig. We all know that that's...
Maybe that's why I love them so much, though.
Well,
I mean, I don't... That still creeps me out.
No, so what do you know about Occupy Wall Street?
Well, I know that there's a bunch of people getting together.
Yeah.
And they are... I look at it as a revolution to take back this country.
All right, so explain to me what you know.
Okay, so what I know about it is that a bunch of people who are fed up with all the... I'm gonna sound like a really fervent person preaching on a soapbox. I feel that the... I don't know. What the hell am I doing? Anyway, so... Now, I feel these people have gotten together. They want to let our government know and let those who control our government and the finances, they want to let them know that we're not really happy with the way our government and our country is going financially and economically. And these people are starting these little startup revolutions and with the hopes that they're going to sway people's minds.
All you had to say is, I don't know.
Sounded good though, didn't it?
It did. It really did. You had me going there for a while. I was like, wow, he's going somewhere with this.
They're missing the pitchforks, I think.
They are. They're missing the pitchforks. You know, I don't even think – I think if you were to take somebody off of the Occupy Wall Street, I don't even think they'd be able to tell you.
Well, that's – I mean, I've heard a lot of the interviews, and they really don't. Yeah. A lot of people are not sure.
Uniformly, they're promoting working-class citizens, and I'm all for that.
Yeah.
They're promoting almost uniformly that the wealthy should be taxed more. Again, I'm for that.
Sure.
You know?
Because we're not wealthy.
Well, right. But here's the thing, and there's no getting around this. They, other than that, they don't know why they're there. I mean, and they're also pretty sure that even if you tax the wealthy, they're not getting jobs. I mean, they're pretty open and honest about that. They're like, yeah, I know. If we raise taxes on them, you know, 5-10% and pay for all this crap, we're not getting our old jobs back. We're just not going to. So it's a little bit of, you know, you kind of you watch that and you scratch your head and you're like, well, okay, so they don't have jobs. They got nothing else to do. Why not join a movement? But why not have the movement say something other than just, you know, fuck the rich? Because that doesn't do much. I mean, I agree.
It pisses off the rich, and then they just kind of dig their heels in more often.
Well, right. I mean, no rich person is going to look at a fleet of out of work citizens and say to themselves, "I really need to pay more in taxes." That's just not how the rich think. But they would pay more taxes if whatchamacallit, people elected people that, you know, ran on that platform. So there you go.
And can I speak just for a moment about people running on platforms?
Please.
I was watching a campaign stop from Michelle Bachmann over the weekend that C-SPAN was covering, what do I want to say here? I wanted to drive to New Hampshire and kick her in the leg. Let her know I was unhappy. I wanted to step on her toe.
That's Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah, I wanted to just step on her toe to let her know I was unhappy with the...
You know, I don't think you need to go to that length. I think you can just tell her.
Oh, I could? Oh.
I think so. I mean, if you're close enough to her to kick her, I think you could just, at that point, just say, "I'm unhappy."
Oh.
And leave it at that.
Oh.
"You make me unhappy. I think what you say is unwise. I think you're..."
"I think your husband's gay."
"I think you're actually, yeah. Methinks the lady doth protest too much. I think your husband actually might be gay," which would be unfortunate for that tax attorney, because that's really all she is a glorified tax attorney.
Well, that's what she kept saying. She kept saying that, you know, "When I was a tax attorney, I did this, this, and this, and this is how the country's going." And then she just wouldn't really say, "Well, how would you fix it?" That was my question.
You know, we're talking about somebody who was so desperate for the world's attention that she claimed that there were members of Congress that were un-American. And I, you know, felt like, gosh, this is like McCarthyism all over again. And aren't we done with this? We're really done with this.
Not even that. You know, back early on, like earlier this spring, she went to a campaign stop, and I forget where it was. But she made mention of John Wayne. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yes. In his hometown?
Yeah. Well, turns out, you know, she was mentioning John Wayne and his fortitude and all how good he was and trying to get the real Americans who would vote for John Wayne. Well, turns out it was John Wayne Gacy, the serial murderer.
I really appreciated the way in which the intensity he brought to the situation. He never gave up.
Wasn't he the guy that had the clown suits in his crawl space? That's John Wayne Gacy, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I blocked that shit out. I mean, there's all kinds of shit that I block out.
And speaking of creepy people and creepy things.
Yes.
Coming up in 2 weeks' time.
Please.
If my math is correct.
Yes.
2 weeks' time, we're going to have the Halloween Spooktacular. And we're going to have the zombie spooktacular, really, is what it is. Sounds like a cow trying to shit pick. It'll be better than that, I promise. We're going to have guests in studio.
Yes.
We're going to be talking all things zombie. There's going to be a zombie quiz.
There is.
Who amongst us would be the last to be remain human before being zombie? There's going to be lots of fun things we're going
to
talk
who
about.
Who would be the last to suckle from your wife's sweet, sweet titty?
Well, that's a good idea, and probably a good place to stop, too, I suppose.
Well, it might be.
Have a good evening, all, and take care.
Remember, I love you.
I love you.
Oh, not you. The audience.
The listeners. Oh.
And you.
All right. Bye.